On the Fly with Jaymon G. On the Fly is on the air.
And we're back on the fly, Jaymon G, EA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 on the FM dial, and of course, as always, worldwide at airventure.org. We are down on the farm in the ultralight area for our On the Fly show today, and I'm joined now by John Hoven, and John is a member of the EAA Ultralight Light Sport Aircraft Council. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Good, very good. I like the fact that it stopped raining, and it looks like it's going to be nice for the rest of the day, and I'm excited to be down on the farm. Been looking forward to it all week, so we always save the best for last. So
good news on that front. I just looked at the radar a few minutes ago, and it's looking like the rest of the day should be pretty darn decent, and tomorrow's looking even better.
Oh, excellent. Well, tell us a little bit about the EAA Ultralight Light Sport Aircraft Council, John.
Well, the Ultralight Council was formed back in 1991 as an advisory group of interested individual volunteers to provide recommendations and advice to EAA staff on how they could support the ultralight community and ultralight enthusiast. Currently, we have five members on the council. It's an all-volunteer position. There are several special interest group councils. A home builders council is another one, but we are, again, the Ultralight Light Sport Aircraft Council. Our five members currently are Carla Larsh from Indiana, who is also our chairperson of the council. We have Jim House from Birmingham, Alabama. We have myself from Pembroke Pines, Florida. We are happy to welcome our two newest members to the council. Jeff Mountain from Justin, Texas, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and Jim McClay from Morrison, Tennessee. Each one of us has a different specialty, so to speak. Jim McClay, for instance, is an active powered parachute instructor and examiner. Jeff is an active instructor. He flies commercially for a living. Myself, I obtained an aviation degree many years ago and enjoyed a lot of different types of flying. Currently, my interest is in the ultralight and light sport arena.
And do you have a light sport or an ultralight yourself?
Not at the moment. I have had a Minimax under construction for a while. My next step is to start building the wing spars. Fuselage is built, tail feathers are built, and I'm building a family as well.
Yes, I see that. And the Minimax, how did you come to acquire that?
I bought it as a kit, actually mini kits. Minimax is one of the aircraft kits that you could buy in sections. You could buy the fuselage kit, you could buy the wing kit, the wing rib kit, the landing gear kit, and I started out with a tail kit, went onto the fuselage, built the landing gear, built the wing ribs, and as I said, the next step would be to build the wing spars. The Minimax has been around, actually this is the 25th anniversary of the design, and it's a pretty much all wood construction type aircraft, and it builds just like a big model. So with some basic woodworking skills, some basic woodworking tools, and a little common sense, you can build your own Minimax and go out and fly. The original concept of the Minimax was minimum cost and maximum fun. So you could get a kit today, get an engine, and for around $10,000 build a real nice flying one-man airplane. There's several of them out here on the field now, and actually Tim Bogenhagen, who you spoke with earlier, has a beautiful example on the field.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out. So tell us a little bit more about the Light Sport Council. I know you guys have been very busy.
Yes, we have. Our role has somewhat shifted now. The way you used to learn to fly an ultralight would be the early pioneers basically were self-taught, you know, and then they may go with a two-way radio where there was an instructor on the ground giving the guy learning to fly advice. And then we, you know, felt that this is not the best way to learn, and through some training exemptions, they authorized training in two-place trainers. One of the early roles of the council was to develop a training program and obtain the exemption necessary to operate with this training, with the idea being if the person goes out and gets the proper training, it's going to lead to a much safer ultralight community. And that's worked very well over the years. We still have ultralight training manuals, which we put out, three different ones. One is for the trike or weight shift ultralight enthusiast. One is for the powered parachute and powered paraglider enthusiast. And then, of course, the fixed wing enthusiast as well. They're publications that have been put together. We have them available down here in the chicken coop down on the farm. They are absolutely free. And these talk about the basic training that is expected of an ultralight pilot to safely succeed. It covers the various air maneuvers that you would be expected to perform and to what proficiency. And again, they are free, and they're designed to help people get the proper training.
Well, and yeah, and I'm looking through one now, and it looks like it's pretty comprehensive. Everything is set up to be very similar to certificated aircraft training stuff. So it's pretty much very similar. This looks like a PTS to me, you know. And so.
Yeah, you could call it a PTS for ultralight pilots, really. And then, of course, as the focus has shifted, you know, we still have Part 103, which is our single-seat ultralights. But, you know, the two-place machines have, most of them have transitioned by now to the experimental light sport aircraft. And as that process was taking place, we were out at the air shows and the fly-ins providing the correct answers for people trying to convert their aircraft, providing the conversion kits where you would have all the necessary forms, placards and everything in one handy kit, which we moved quite a few of at the various shows. And again, I think there's over 7,000 now that have converted to the ELSA rating, and we focused a lot on that. Now we're at a point where next year the last of the training exemption expires 2010, and by
that's
then
the end, huh?
That's last the end time that for the two-place training. And at that point, as you spoke with Paul earlier, at that point you're going to have to get instruction in a special light sport aircraft, hopefully something similar in flight characteristics to what you intend to fly as a single seat Part 103 ultralight.
I see. So that presents challenges in the next year as we get closer to that date in 2010, where now we're going to be integrating what used to be just ultralight community, basically, into the bigger community of light sport and general aviation as well.
That's absolutely correct. Again, you know, flying an ultralight is great. You have the freedom to do it under Part 103, but let me emphasize, you still need the proper training. The way of the training in the future is going to be, you're going to have to get the training in a two-place aircraft, which is now considered a special light sport aircraft, hopefully again with similar flight characteristics to what you want to fly. The Breeze aircraft that you spoke about earlier with Paul actually is the derivative of the Quicksilver line of which was one of the original ultralights, and it's evolved into this very, very fine machine that he has out here on the field. And it is exactly, you know, what a lot of the folks would need as far as the training to fly a lot of the single place ultralights that are still out there and available.
Now, wouldn't you encourage somebody who was getting into ultralights to go ahead and just do their 20-hour light sport pilot certificate? That would prepare them for the ultralight. And if there's not going to be an ultralight trainer anymore, a two-place trainer, isn't that kind of the direction that we're headed?
Well, you know, again, that's a problem. A lot of the special light sport aircraft that have come out are geared more towards a true production airplane, three axis control, tricycle landing gear, where a lot of the ultralights that are still out there, you know, fly a bit differently, less inertia, more drag, you come off the power, you don't have the glide ratio of some of these higher performance machines. So there is a void there, and that void is there are not a lot of special light sport aircraft with the flight characteristics of a lot of the single place ultralights that are out there now. So again, you're going to have to try to get training in something with similar flight characteristics to what the machine that you're interested in would have.
John, do you think most of the ultralight communities, you know, the flying community, are they going to transition into, I'm sure they're going to have some instructors that are going to be, they're going to have to be light sport CFIs in order to train. So basically the ultralight instructor is going to go away, right?
Right. And what's happened is a lot of the ultralight instructors have made the transition to light sport instructors, and which is what was hoped. And, you know, if they've got the appropriate training vehicle, training machine, that's the way to get the training.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So I see you've got all kinds of notes. Let's talk about some of the other exciting things that are happening.
Well, one of the other programs that the council oversees is the Ultralight Hall of Fame. The Ultralight Hall of Fame was established several years ago to recognize pioneers in the ultralight community for significant contributions that they have made. We've had aircraft designers inducted into the Hall of Fame. We've had riders inducted into the Hall of Fame. As a matter of fact, the gentleman that was instrumental in the writing of Part 103, which is the single-seat ultralight regulations, was inducted into the Hall of Fame a few years ago. If you're familiar with ultralight, you may recognize some of the names. Homer Kolb is one of the first inductees of the Kolb line of aircraft. Wayne Eisen, who is the designer of the Team or Minimax series of aircraft. Chuck Slezarczyk of the CGS Hawk. Last year we inducted Mike Lowley of Lowley Aviation, who's built the 5151 wooden P-51 replica. I'm happy to announce that this year the newest inductee is Roy Pinner, who designed the Max Air Drifter series of aircraft. So this is something that anybody can nominate somebody to be considered for the Hall of Fame. The way it works is you have to fill out a nomination form and provide background information on the individual, your contact information, their contact information if they're still living, or an heir if they're deceased, and send it into EAA headquarters. Each year we tally the various ballots that have been submitted, and a committee of seven individuals will then review and rank order those candidates, and the highest ranking candidate, of course, gets inducted. Typically, that ceremony takes place in late October over in the Eagle Hangar, along with the other halls of fame, the Warbirds, the flight instructors, vintage, and so on. And it's a very, very, very nice evening. Each inductee gets to go up on stage and receive their award. It's a first-class event.
Oh, very good. And I guess what I wanted to ask you, John, before I forget and we run out of time, is I would imagine that the Ultralight and Light Sport Aircraft Council provides a lot of interface with the FAA. Is that correct?
Well,
there has to be an advocacy group for ultralights, and that would be the role that this fills.
Right. We have government relations people here at the EAA that do a wonderful job on our behalf, interfacing with the FAA, and they have been instrumental throughout the whole sport pilot and light sport aircraft process, taking back feedback from various different individuals, and in certain cases asking for clarification, in certain cases asking for maybe a change to be considered, and that's all input from the community. If light sport is the way you want to go, definitely you know, it's an inexpensive way to learn to fly, substantially less than what it costs to get a private pilot certificate. If Part 103 in a single place ultralight is the way you want to go, Part 103 is the most affordable flying hour for hour, initial investment wise, and probably instruction wise as well. We encourage you, if you're going to go with Part 103, do make the right decision. Do get the right instruction. We want you to succeed. We want you to have fun, and we want you to fly safe.
Exactly. Well, John, thanks for joining us on EA Radio today. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we're going to move along and go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to one of your teen pilot volunteers, Jacob Greenfield. We'll be back in just a moment down on the farm with On the Fly, Jaymont G.